deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Now, for those who have followed the whole of the parable series, as we really bring it to a close, it actually started at the beginning of the year. Gerald was preaching a series on the parables from Matthew chapter 13. And in fact, the parable of the sower was the first one that he covered. And so I thought, if I read it from Luke chapter 8, you might forget that Gerald's already covered this and think it was being done for the first time. But in picking it up again, I'm aware I absolutely don't want to just double up and repeat everything that Gerald has said. But I want to highlight one or two things. And I want to do that, I suppose, in particular, in light of the Holiday Bible Club that has been on this past week. For those who picked up the newsletter and read it last week, in regards to the Holiday Bible Club, there was a little bit of a quote that spoke to the parable of the sower and tried to give some understanding of it and encouraged us in terms of our prayers for this last week. Really, it summed the parable of the sower up by saying it is a parable about the receptivity of the word of God, that people hear the word and then respond to it, and we need to pray for how it is received. What's interesting is that in the four different types of soils, there are three of those whereby ultimately the seed is rejected. It bears no fruit. But in one of the four soils, in the good soil, there is fruit, 30, 60, and even 100 times over. And that's what we want to pray for. And that's what we want to continue to pray for in the lives of all those who have come this last week to the Holiday Bible Club. We want to pray for the children who came, but we also want to pray for their parents, their grandparents, or whoever might have come along to the concert or picked them up, or who've gone home and heard their children talk about the things that have been spoken of. We need to continue to pray that the seed that is planted would bear fruit. And so I want to use the Holiday Bible Club to help us understand the parables. I'm quite sure we do. But in helping us understand how it might be received, I hope we can then think about that and apply it to ourselves. Because I believe that there is application for ourselves as Christians in this parable as well. I think we readily and quite easily apply it to unbelievers who would hear the word for the first time and then might ultimately bear fruit of salvation, come to the Lord. But you and I are here every week. We have the word of God ready for us that we can pick up and read at any time. And every time we hear the word of God, it is as if the seed has been sown and planted, and we must consider then if that seed bears fruit in our lives day by day. We want to be people who bear fruit. We need to be people who bear fruit. And so how you and I hear the word of God is very important. Verse 18 of Luke chapter 8 says, "Take care then how you hear." That's what we're going to try and consider together this morning. So let me just pray for us briefly and we'll get started. Our Father, thank you for bringing your people here today. And as your people, as your children, Lord, we know your love for us. We know your desire that we would grow in Christ-likeness. Your desire that we would be people who bear fruit. And so, Lord, I trust that you would be pleased to speak this morning, that you would give us ears to hear, and that we would be those who do understand, Lord. Only you can open our eyes and our ears to give us understanding. But Father, as we hear and receive this word, help us to do whatever we have responsibility for to help that seed to grow. So Lord, we pray you will come and draw near to every one of us and ask in you now, Lord, for help. In Jesus' name, amen. What we want to see about the parable is this, that every child this week and every parent who came to the concert on Thursday heard the word of God. So we cannot suggest that there are those who do not hear the word and therefore they cannot bear fruit. The word was heard by everyone this week, and in the parable, the word is sown to all. What we also need to realize is that the word is good. Now, I, as a preacher of the word of God, have responsibility to work on my presentation and to be clear with my presentation for all those who would hear. But the seed is good. The word is good. Because the same seed that landed on the path that was snatched is the same seed that also landed in the good soil and brought forth fruit. So all here, and alongside that, the seed is good. It's not because the seed is bad that people do not respond. But it is received differently. Now, when we think about the children this week, we're dealing with some very young children, of course, all the way up to the grade 6 ones who heard as well. So there are some who likely are perhaps a little bit too young. They're not perhaps in the habit or are not thinking deeply about things, and so perhaps it's a little bit in one ear and out the other. Perhaps for some, they forgot about it. If you asked them, what did you hear? They actually might not remember all that well. Maybe some just genuinely heard, but they're just not all that interested. They loved the songs, they loved the games, and well, we had to have that little God talk part, but there was maybe not all that much interest. And so consequently, the word maybe just took no root. Like the seed that falls on the path or the hard ground, nothing was done with what was heard. And as verse 12 says, the devil comes and snatches it away. And so even only after a couple of days since he last heard, that seed may well have been snatched. There were some, though, perhaps, who heard and thought, this is great. I like this. This makes sense. I like the sound of what I'm hearing. Maybe they had never heard it before, and maybe they'd never heard it in the way it was presented before. And they were able to understand it a little. And then maybe their parents picked them up and said, oh, what did you learn at Holiday Bible Club today? And they were maybe just a little bit too scared to share. You know, I think, oh, I don't know. Or maybe they went out later that day and they went to be with some of their friends. And their friend says, what did you do this morning? And they, oh, I don't know if I really want to tell them I went to a Holiday Bible Club. You know? And immediately it is like the seed that lands on soil, but as it grows up, it very quickly disappears because the sun comes and scorches it. You see, the cost is a little bit too great and nothing consequently happens with the seed. It's received with joy at first, that's what the parable tells us, but in time of testing falls away. Now for others, we hope that it has been genuinely considered and that it has been understood, even from the children amongst our own congregation who attended. That is what we would hope and pray, that it would take root. But what we need to pray against is what is described to us in verse 14. That fell among the thorns are those who hear, but as they go on their way are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. These children are young, and as they grow, there will be much that the world will throw at them. And we pray that it would not choke out the word that has been planted. But for some, that is no doubt true. For some of them, there might be a real desire to be at church, but there's also sport on a Sunday. Or the family would say that Sunday is a family day, and so they cannot get to church. And so the seed that has been planted is choked out. And even in children that young, there can be worries and concerns about other things that could cause the seed to be choked out. Now, we can apply these as a few simple examples of how the word may have been received by the children to how the adults may have received it. Because there were adults who were leaders throughout the week, and maybe they're hearing the word of God for the first time or needed to hear that word of salvation. There were parents who came every day to pick up their children and who may have heard and who may have had their children tell them what was going on. There were parents and others who came on Thursday to the concert and they heard the gospel message. I wonder how they have received it. Maybe some of them came and heard, yeah, right, okay, sure, whatever. That's not true. I don't believe that. I don't believe in God. I don't believe what the Bible says. And the devil immediately took that word and just snatched it away. Or maybe they said, look, it's fine. I'm going to let you guys believe what you believe, but I don't believe that. And the word's gone in one ear and immediately out the other, and it's snatched away. For some, perhaps, they heard the gospel on Thursday at the concert, let's say, and they thought, actually, you know what? I've never heard that before. Well, that's a good way to say that. That's really made me think. And so they go home to their spouse, or they're in the car driving the children home, and they say, what did you think about what was said? And the other says, nah, I didn't like that. Didn't agree with that. Yeah, me neither. And immediately the cost of confronting that word and bringing it before someone else is a little bit too much straight away, and it gets choked out. Maybe they're too scared to share it with a spouse or partner, whoever it is at home, because they know the reception it would receive. But maybe there's some who are genuinely interested and who've heard something and they think, well, maybe I should come to church, or maybe I can speak to a friend I know who is a Christian. But again, maybe there are things this world will throw at them that would choke it out. The deceitfulness of wealth, the desire for other things, the worries of this life. You know, maybe money's tight and you can't get to church, and so you can take some overtime on a Sunday, get that extra money, you don't go to church, and the seed just doesn't have the right place to grow, the right environment. I have seen this throughout my life, growing up as a teenager in church, being involved in Teen Ranch, which is a huge ministry with hundreds and hundreds of volunteers, that as they got older, the seed was choked out. Dear friends, who seemed at first to receive the word with joy, and who I trusted were going to have life transformed by it, are now walking so far from the Lord, have completely rejected the Lord. The good seed, which was heard, has been choked out. And so we know that there are these potential reactions and responses to the word of God as the seed has been sown this week at Holiday Bible Club to the children and the adults. And you know what, as I was preparing this, I thought, it's a bit of a hard start, is it not? Taking my first few minutes to basically say the word has gone out and it's been sown, and in 3 out of the 4 soils it's fruitless. It produces nothing. And you know what? We need to make sure that that doesn't discourage us and think, well, what's the point? It's too hard. It just makes me too sad when I consider and look at all my friends throughout the year who I grew up with who are now no longer walking with the Lord. Well, it's just too hard. But what we must concentrate on, what we must remember, is that 1 of the 4 soils produced good fruit, that it was received, and we must pray that the children who heard that word, that good word, would receive it and it would bear fruit. That is what we want to pray. That is what we must remember as we, as Christians, are called to faithfully sow the word of God. We must sow liberally and trust that God will have those who hear, understand, and have their ears opened so that it might bear fruit. Jesus, when he prays in John 17, speaking to the Father, says that he would not lose any out of his hand. There is good soil, and those whom God has called to be his children are and will be his children. In the book of Habakkuk, I was reminded of Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 14. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Now, how much of the sea is covered with water? Well, it's all water, isn't it? So the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The whole world, all of it, will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God. God has said that, and that will come true. That is his promise. And so as he says that and he promises that to us, he also says that there are those who will hear the word and it will produce good fruit. So we need to be faithful to sow the seed And we need to pray that God would be the one to bring it to fruition. So we must continue to pray for the adults, continue to pray for the children who were here at Holiday Bible Club this week. Pray that they would make decisions regarding life and death. That is how important this word is, because how we hear this word is to do with our salvation. Life now and eternally with God in heaven. How we hear our salvation rests on it. And so we pray that these children would have heard and that God would bring it to fruition. It is amazing. It is amazing to think that even in the 5 days we had with the children this week, with the seed being sown, there is so much potential of good fruit. And we pray that it would be born in the lives of these children. Now, I think we probably understand the parable. We understand about seed being sown and how it's received. And I share these things because it helps us better understand the parable and the potential responses of the children. But I think it also helps us to pray well for the children. When we consider some of what it may be that chokes the word out or causes the seed not to bear fruit, we need to pray against that. And it's important that we should do so in their lives, but I think also in our own lives. Because I started by saying that I believe that there is application for us here also in the parable of the sower. Because one of the things is that there's not really a timetable. And in particular, when it comes to the third soil, the one that is choked out, there's no real timetable. Like the seed that's sown first and lands on the hard ground, it says is immediately snatched away. But it could be, perhaps, that this third soil where it is choked out is a word that is sown and it grows up over many years and years, but then is eventually choked out. Perhaps you've even seen that. People that you have gone through life with in church or in your family or whatever, who it would seem for many years, have grown up and yet it is choked out. Now, we trust them to the Lord and we know if the Lord truly has saved them or not, but we know that the word can be choked out. And so we must take care how we hear to ensure that it is not choked out in our own lives. I think we have responsibility to do all we can to make sure that what is sown is nurtured and is given an environment in which it can grow. And we must make sure we are continuing to hear the word of the Lord. This is a parable all about hearing. I don't know, perhaps you would draw a distinction between hearing and listening. Okay? Maybe you have said it yourself or you've heard it said, sorry, I heard you, but I wasn't listening. So something is said and you hear it, but actually when you think about it, you think, I have no idea what you just said. So it's heard, but it's not listened to, or I suppose you could swap the words. I think I had a habit of that. I hope I've not got quite such a bad habit of it. And I would like to put the blame fully onto my dad, where I could genuinely walk into the living room. Perhaps dad was reading a book or watching TV or in his study where he was preparing a sermon, doing work or whatever he was doing. I would say, Dad, I'm just heading off to work, down to the restaurant, or I'm going to go and play golf. Something like that. And he'd say, yeah, okay, Stephen, no problem. I'll say, look, and I'll be back at 9 o'clock. Sorry, what was that? And I said, thank you. That was a lovely laugh. No one else was laughing. And I'd say, Dad, I'll be back at 9. Sorry, can you say that all again? I wasn't listening. So he's heard me and he's even responded to me, but he's then had to say, sorry, can you say that again? Because I wasn't listening. And I think it ties in a little bit with what I shared from the very beginning there from James. That we can hear the word of God and then do absolutely nothing with it. And it's like we've heard it, but we've not been listening. Because true listening, true hearing of the word means that something is done with it. It doesn't just go in one ear and out the other. It doesn't bear no fruit at all. And so we have to take care how we hear. It can't be that it is just mere words. In verse 8, Jesus says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And again in verse 18, "Take care then how you hear." There is a responsibility for you and I as to how we hear. So let me ask you, how effective is your hearing? How do you hear? Because there is hearing which barely starts and it's gone before you are out the door. There's hearing that at first receives the word with joy, but then it becomes a little bit too hard to do anything with it and it is burned up. And there's hearing that flourishes until the world takes over in our lives. But there is also hearing that endures trial, defeats the devil, and bears fruit to eternal life. And that's what we need to pray for in our own lives, and we should be praying as a congregation of God's people for one another. That not only that we would bear fruit, but that we would pray for one another to bear fruit. If the seed is the word of God, then what kind of soil is it landing on, even this morning? Because whenever you hear the word of God at church on a Sunday, whenever you open your Bible, you read a devotional, whenever you come to the word of God and consider it, you're receiving good seed. And so how is it received by you? How do you hear? If you spent any time in the word of God this week, I wonder if it's borne any fruit. I wonder if the sermon from last Sunday morning or evening has borne fruit in your life. How did you receive it? Has it been snatched away? Have you been too busy to do something with it? Did you have greater priorities than to encourage that word to bear fruit in your life? Has it been put to the test and you failed to persevere and so there has been no fruit? So given these examples from the Holiday Bible Club, I did that because actually I think we can apply them to ourselves very similarly in terms of how you and I hear the word of God. Because perhaps we might hear something or read something and we're not sure whether we believe it. Don't know that that's true. So we just ignore it and move on. Or perhaps we come to it and we think, yep, I knew that one. I'd heard that one before. That parable of the sower is really well known. It's quite familiar to me. So we can just forget about it, really, move on. Wait till we hear something that we've never heard before. For some of us, we can just be so distracted with what's going on that the word takes no root at all. I've got a number of examples, and let me say, first of all, it's easy to come up with examples because I only need to think of my own life first of all. I'm not having to think, oh yeah, such and such in the congregation, they're like that. I look at myself and I think, how many times have I come to church and I have been so distracted? Because at the end of church, I know that I have something else on that I need to get to. And I really hope he doesn't speak for a long time. Because the more he speaks, then it's getting a little bit tighter for me to get in the car and get away to lunch or whatever it is that's going on. And actually what happens, of course, then is that you barely hear a word that's said because all you want is for it to finish so you can get on to the next thing. How are you hearing the word of God? Are you totally distracted? That can happen, unfortunately, and I know it to be true in my own life. Other things can dominate, and so we do not hear. So you know what? The devil comes and he snatches that word. I had exams a few weeks ago, and I suppose I have to consider sitting here on Sunday was I thinking, what am I doing? I could be at home learning Greek and all sorts of wonderful things like that. We can be concerned and have anxiety about other things that are going on in our lives, and it distracts us, so we cannot hear well. Some of us have got concerns about loved ones who are not well at this time, those who are in hospital, unwell, all of these types of things. People who are going through hard times, and that can dominate our minds, it can dominate our prayers, and so when it comes then to the word of God, it doesn't bear fruit. Because we have these other things going on that choke the word out, causes us not to hear well. For someone like myself, as a preacher of the word of God, I have to be so careful when I hear from God's word, when I listen to a sermon, that I don't think, well, that's a really good bit, I like that. I'll remember that and I'll use that myself. And all I'm doing is trying to glean illustrations or examples that I might use, or a way to present the word that I think I could do as well, as if it has no personal application to me. I've got to be careful how I hear the word of God. Or maybe the word is hard and it requires some application. And you've got to actually take time to think, who could I share this word with? Or how does that need to happen in my life? But it actually might take you to pray about the word you've heard, or to think it through, meditate on it a little bit. But are you willing to take the time to do that? Or is life too busy for you to be able to take what was sown and cause it to flourish and grow? So often the busyness of life can take away from the word that is planted and cause it to be unfruitful. Perhaps sometimes we just hope that hearing it is enough. You know, maybe it's like Jack and the Beanstalk. You just throw your magic beans out and the next day there's this massive big vine. You know, you didn't have to do anything to it. You just went to bed at night and you slept and that's it, and there's a massive big vine the next day. Do we just hope that we can come and hear a sermon and that's it? We don't need to do anything else and it's going to bear fruit in our lives? Now, trust that the word of God and God can do that and bring real conviction, and it could cause a change in our lives. But there is also times when we've got to take that word and pray about it and think about it and meditate upon it and consider it and put it into practice so that it will bear fruit. Excuse me. One of the things that has benefited me hugely in the short time that Nikki and I and Eilish have been here is to be part of a home group on a Wednesday night, where, having heard the word of God on a Sunday, we get the opportunity to meet together with other people and consider it further. And for me, it's been helpful to acknowledge the fact that to come to church on a Sunday and hear it is not enough for me. I'm not that smart to think it through in the 20 minutes, half an hour, whatever it is, and then immediately think that's how I'll apply it, put it into practice, and I can just go away and walk on through my week with the word taken root. I need to think it through. I need to hear what other people say and helpfully pray it through with them and consider how it can be applied in their lives and then how it can be applied to my life. What a great problem it would be for session if the home groups were too big. There were too few home groups, because everybody wanted to meet together through the week to study the word of God and to establish the word that was planted on a Sunday by meeting together with one another. What a great problem. Please give us that problem. For me, that has been such a helpful thing, that the word has the right environment to grow and to be nurtured, that it might bear fruit. And look, sometimes the word that is sown is hard. It's just hard, and it would be costly for you to put it into practice. There will have to be an act that is deliberate and intentional for it to bear fruit. And perhaps sometimes it just seems a bit too hard to do it. We spoke about the parable of the unforgiving servant. As we draw this series to a close, you might look back on some of the parables and think about some of the lessons that we had. That one in particular was a real hard one. To forgive other people, to forgive one another. And the cost can cause it to be choked out. Sometimes we can come and we can think, well, there wasn't much in that for me this morning. I mentioned previously, I think that as a minister of the word, I have a responsibility to work on my presentation, to be thorough in my studying and preparation of the word. But I also think that we who hear the word have a responsibility to take that word and to think it through for ourselves, rather than just say, there wasn't much in that for me this morning. It wasn't one of his better ones. Can you take that word and think it through for yourself? Because the word of God is living and it is active. In 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and a few of the epistles are profitable for teaching. Does it say that? Or does it say all of the word of God? All of scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for us. Every time we hear the word, it can have an impact and effect that can lead to fruitfulness in our lives. And that is what we want, and we have a responsibility in how we hear that word and what we do with it. Just want to bring things to a close. Again, asking the question, how are you hearing? How good is your hearing? Are you careful? Are you taking care how you hear? I wonder how often I have allowed the devil to snatch the word away. And even as I say that, I think, what a hard statement, what a sad and disappointing statement to have to make, that I have let the devil snatch the word away. Because I've not done anything with that word. I've been distracted. I've been anxious for things. I've not taken care with how I have heard. I have not nurtured the word. Let me just read a couple of verses to you to finish, because it is important how we hear, because for the sake of our salvation, we need to hear well. That's what the parable of the sower might say to us. But we read also as well in John 15 and in verse 8, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples." In our lives, there needs to be fruit. There needs to be evidence of our faith in God. And if we bear fruit from the word that is sown, then you and I need to take care how we hear, so that there can be fruit, so that God can be glorified. So how we hear has application for salvation. How we hear has application for the glory of God, because if you hear well and bear fruit, then God is glorified. But also as well, when we come to Luke chapter 8, it says in verse 16, "No one after lighting a lamp covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light." Jesus changes the metaphor from fruit to light. But speaking of the same thing, we understand that light is to be seen by others. And so you and I have a responsibility to bear fruit so that people may see that fruit in our lives. We are told that people might see our good deeds and praise our Father in heaven. You and I have a responsibility to hear well for the sake of our own salvation, for the sake of the glory of God, and for the sake of others who might see that fruit and praise our Father in heaven. So everyone, let us be careful then and take care how we hear God's word, week by week, day by day, as we have opportunity. Let me pray.